It is an honor for me to introduce our speaker to you this morning. I've known Pastor Terry Dingle for a few years. We've gotten to know each other more than anywhere else at pastors' conferences. Like me and our church, who are affiliated with Evangel Fellowship International, so is Pastor Terry and his church. So we've enjoyed fellowship and a few meals together and a lot of good worship and good word coming to us at pastors' conferences over the last few years. 4 years ago, he and his wife planted a new church in Florence. And from the moment I met this young man, I sensed a spirit of excellence in his spirit that's very rare, and his family as well. He's going to bring us a good word this morning. Would you make welcome Pastor Terry Dingle?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is to our God. I don't know about you this morning, but I am so thankful and I'm so grateful just to have an opportunity to be here. You know, God has been good and God is good. So this morning, you can go ahead, you can have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. While this may be my first time here, I feel as though I'm at home. And so I just want to warn you before I get started. I see what time it is. Pastor Carl told me that I've got liberty. But now, since it's my first time, I'm only going to exercise portion of my liberty. And so therefore, you get the other hour and a half the next time I come. But I am so grateful, first of all, to God and to Jesus, who is my Lord and my Savior. Amen. You know, sometimes I just think about if it had not been for him, where would I be? Sometimes I think if God hadn't loved us so much to send his son, what would have happened to mankind? And I also understand, I guess I look at it differently now. When I was young, it didn't matter. But it did, because when you're brought up in a house, and my grandmother was a minister, so from the time I was a baby on up, I had the word of God that was poured in me. But it gets a point in the time when you kind of stray away from that. The word don't go away from you, but you kind of get away from it. You think you do anyhow. But Proverbs said, train up a child in the way that he should go. And it said, when he is old. It didn't say when he was young, he wouldn't depart. It just said when you grow up and you get mature and you realize the stupid stuff that you're doing, there's a word on the inside of you that's going to bring you back home. Amen. 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 So I just thank God for that. But I just thank God for the opportunity to be here. I thank God for the relationship that he has established with Pastor Carl and myself and our families. You know this, but I've come to know this. You have an awesome pastor. You have an awesome pastor. And what I love about him is what you see is what you get. There is no fake, there is no phony, and that's me. So let me pre-warn you. Now, I am known at home to make up words. So if I say something and it doesn't sound like a word, you're going to have to go to the dictionary and see if this is that really a word. And it may or may not be. But it will fit the occasion, so just take it as it is. And the other thing that I'm quite known to do is I do know correct grammar. I know how to make subject and verb agree. I know how to use adjectives and adverbs. But I like to mess it up sometimes. So if I say ain't, it's intentional, and it may not be intentional, because it just sounds better than the correct language at that point in time. So just take it for love and just say, well, we still trust Pastor Carl. Maybe he sees something that we don't see. But just trust it. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will work everything out for us. I do want to give honor to Pastor Carl and Ms. Brenda. We do want to say thank you for allowing us to be here. This is indeed not just a privilege, it's an honor. It's an honor to stand in this pulpit. It's an honor. And you just don't know how deeply I appreciate this opportunity. But as Pastor Carl say, behind every good man, there is an excellent woman. And I just have to give praise and honor and thank God for my wife of a little over 26 years, Miss Dolores. She is there. She is my rock. She supports me. She stays on me. She makes certain that I do what I'm supposed to do. And I always tell the truth, you ain't got to worry about me doing anything wrong as long as I'm married to her, because she's always on us. And I have one of my daughters here this morning, Jessica. She's a sophomore, maybe a junior this semester at USC. My other daughter, Lauren, she's in Columbia. She's in her rotation from pharmacy school, so she couldn't be here. Then I have two other daughters. That's one is in Atlanta and one is in Maryland. And I have three grandboys that's in Maryland. They're the oldest one just turned 15 on January the 4th, so I'm kind of laughing at my daughter now. So she's going through the teenage years. And then I would be remiss if I didn't thank and just show appreciation to the house that God has placed us over, Seed of Life Worship Ministries. And there's, and I started to make them stand up, and I know they don't want me to do that, so I'm not going to do it. But I just appreciate them being here this morning, and they just don't know how much Mr. Lawrence and I and my family, we love them. God has placed us over them, not as a sub-lord, but as one that walks alongside. We are a servant leader, and it gives us privilege to serve them. And I am so thankful, and I'm so gracious, and we've been going through some growing pains, in particular me. They're watching me grow and the mistakes and the things that we do wrong, but we're in this thing together. And so I just want to say thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all that you do for us. And with that, I'm going to move forward into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for giving us grace and mercy. So, Lord, as we come to say a word on your behalf this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak through me. I pray that our ears are tuned to what you have to say to us, our hearts are receptive to your word. Lord, in your word you say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. So, Father God, as we come this morning, I come as just a vessel of clay, an imperfect man trying to deliver a perfect word. But God, it is your word. And as you work through us and you speak through us, allow your people to receive what you are speaking to us on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. And I know you Bible scholars, when as soon as you hear Daniel chapter 3, you say, oh, yeah, I like that, I like that. Because Daniel chapter 3 covers only one primary topic. Daniel chapter 3, and we want to take a look at, beginning at verse 13. Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And it reads, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image what I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which you have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I want to talk to you briefly along this thought this morning. When God is on trial. When God is on trial. This story or this account is one of the most fascinating stories. And as I stated earlier, as believers, when typically we hear about Daniel chapter 3, we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the three Hebrew boys and the fiery furnace. But one of the things that we do as believers, we become so fascinated with the story and fascinated with the outcome that we fail to see all that is written and what is hidden in the text. So as we look at this passage of scripture, I want you to note that there are four main characters listed here. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar. Now, and while these stories encompasses and talks about these individuals, I submit to you this morning that this story is really not about them. It's not about four individuals, but it's about two. I submit to you this morning that this account is all about God and Satan. It's about the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 12 through 13 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And he said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I'm going to take some liberty this morning with this passage, not taking it out of context, just bear with me, but looking at it from a different perspective. I want us to take a look at the three Hebrew boys, and I want us to look at them not as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I want us to take a look at them as a representative of the church. Because I believe that God is speaking to the church universal as well as the church individual through this account, through this passage of Scripture. Now, we can all agree that the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. But I'm here to tell you this morning that even though the church was birthed there, we had pictures of the church in the Old Testament. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And he says, and let them have dominion. Now, in the making of man, God now has a representative here on earth. And I don't really have time to get into it, but we all know as believers that there was a battle in heaven. There was a battle between God and Lucifer. And because of pride, Lucifer wanted to be like God. And he was so convincing in what he was trying to do and what he believed in that he convinced one-third of the angelic host to follow him. And God kicked them out. And the Bible tells us that when God kicked him out, and a lot of people ask, well, where did he go? He went, God kicked him out, the Bible says, to earth. So when we look at the first account of Genesis, we talk about the earth being dark and in chaos. And the reason why the earth was dark and in chaos, because Satan was inhabiting the earth. So we see now that God has a representative here on earth to rule, to have dominion and authority. But at some point in time, man disobeyed God and sin came in. And upon sin coming in, now that relationship that man had was severed. So now God has no one to really represent him. And we see in Genesis 3 where God comes in and he speaks to Satan and he says that, and he tells about the woman will crush his head, which is the first sign or the prophetic sign talking about the Messiah, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But because of Adam's sin, we also see now over time that the ungodly begins to multiply. In Genesis 6, verse 5 through 7, it says this: Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I like when God says, but. Yeah. I just, because there's on the first side of but is something bad, but when God says, but, forget about that. Here's something else. It said, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And because Noah found grace, now Noah and his sons and their wives and his wife were saved. We know the story about Noah and the ark, and God now puts, so now once the ark has settled back on land and the flood recedes, God now establishes a second covenant. Not the Adamic covenant, but now the Noahic covenant. And the same thing that he told Adam, he now tells Noah that they are to populate the earth. But over a period of time, the world got so bad again and continually got bad until God still got fed up with mankind. And so now God goes to a man called Abram, a man that didn't know God because he worshiped an idol god. But God went to a man called Abram and said, I want you to get you and your family out of this country and go to a place where I will show you, I will tell you. And he says that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, he said, Now the Lord, he has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And from Abram, God changes his name to Abraham, and a nation, God builds a nation through this one man. Now, I submit to you this morning that nation, Israel, is a picture, is the Old Testament picture of the New Testament church. Because, see, God always has to have someone who can testify about him, about his glory, about his goodness. And God says, no man has ever seen my face, because if you look upon me, you're going to die. So God now takes this nation of Israel, and God has used this nation Israel as his chosen people, through whom he will communicate his laws and his ways to the other nations that were around him. Israel was God's special chosen people, and everyone else had to look on Israel in order to see how God was moving and also to understand his ways. And so today, in that spiritual sense, what Israel was as a theocracy in the Old Testament, we, the church, is that same thing in the New Testament. While we may be worshiping together this morning as Abundant Life and See the Life Worship Ministries, there is only one church. Abundant Life is not separate from See the Life or any other church. Because God says, and the greatest prayer that Jesus prayed was that, let them be one as we are one. So what troubles my spirit is to see all these churches supposed to be of the living God competing against each other, or because of denominational ties, you know, you ain't going to heaven because you don't do this, or you ain't baptized the same way. See, I told you I'm using ain't. You're not using baptized the same way that I'm baptized, and so therefore there is a split. No, that is the work of the enemy. See, we should be the people that should be beaming with the love of God. Because Jesus said this, by this shall they know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for the other. So this brings me to Daniel chapter 3. And I want to take a little liberty this morning because, as I stated earlier, the three Hebrew boys are not the ones that are on trial. I'm submitting to you this morning is that God is the one that's on trial. And I need for that to sink into you this morning because I need you to understand that the chains that the sister was talking about this morning that you came in here with and the burdens and the heaviness that you had, it's because God is on trial. See, you think it's about you, but it ain't really got nothing to do with you at all. It's all about what Satan trying to do in order to cast doubt in people's mind about the goodness of God and always saying, is he really God? So I want to take this opportunity, this liberty this morning, and you're going to be the audience. And we're going to be in a courtroom this morning. And you know, typically in the court, when you go to trial, there's a judge. And then there's also the prosecution and the defense. And then there's a jury. But because this is a kingdom, that whatever the king says goes. So there's no need for a jury. So let's take a look at this situation. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we see where that Nebuchadnezzar now makes this image of gold. And in making this image of gold, he gives out a decree and he invites all of the leaders in his kingdom to come and worship this idol. Not only did he invite all of the leaders, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, because I will exercise some liberty. But for the sake of time, you can read it, and it talks about the judges and the magistrates and so forth. But not only were the leaders supposed to be there, but every other person as well was supposed to come and bow down to this image. But we see in verse 8, this group of people called the Chaldeans comes to Nebuchadnezzar. And they bring an accusation or a charge against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And listen to what they said in verse 10. It says, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, or here I'm putting in short term, hears the orchestra, fall down and worship you. And you said that whoever does not fall down and worship will be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And he said, now there are certain Jews who did not show up, my rendition. These are certain people that you put in high places. See, you have to understand, this wasn't the Jews' home. They were here in exile. They were here because they were not obedient to God. And after time and time again, God had tried to get their attention and he couldn't. He placed them in exile. When you go back to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah tells you, and God tells them, I was the one that put you into exile. So when he took them to exile, what Nebuchadnezzar did, well, he took the choicest ones, and he put them through a training school for a year. And he observed them, and the Bible says that these three young men, because you need to understand, they were teenagers. They were not old like us. They were 16, 17 years old. And the Bible says that they were 10 times better than everyone else in there. So Nebuchadnezzar took them and placed them in a position. The position he placed them in should have gone to the Chaldeans. I just want to tell you this morning, some of y'all in some positions that someone else should have been in, and they're jealous. And you think it's something that you did that caused all the hell in your life? No. It's because they went to the king. That says that they have not paid due regard to you, and they do not serve your gods or worship the gold image. Verse 13 now says, and that's the accusation. So now there is a presentation of evidence. Nebuchadnezzar hears this, and the Bible says he was enraged and fury. He gave the command to bring them to him. And the Bible says, so they brought them to him. Now understand, they weren't there. And out of all those people in the kingdom that was coming to worship, who would have missed three men? Certainly not the king. See, that tells me the Chaldeans was waiting for an opportunity. They were watching these men of God. And you need to know that this morning, that the world is looking at us to see, is this really your God? I know you can say that we sing and we shout and we speak in tongues in church, but they're looking at you on your job to see just us how much. You know what I'm saying? I hear what you're saying, but I see something, I ain't going to bother that, different. So Nebuchadnezzar brings him, and Nebuchadnezzar says, is it true? Now, I like this about it, because he just didn't take their word for it. He asked them, he said, now, is this true, what I'm hearing? And when he asked him that, he said, now, and he doesn't give him time to answer right here, but he just said, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image that I set up? He said, now, but now, is it true? I'm not taking their word for it. He said, but here's a second chance. He said, now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the orchestra to fall down and worship the image that I made, he said, good. But if you do not, you will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fire furnace. So the evidence has been presented by the prosecution. So now it comes time for the defense team to present some evidence. But this is what I like about my boys. They didn't even present any evidence. They just went straight from the evidence presentation to the closing argument. Because here is what they said. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Now, just to validate that this trial is about God, let's back up to the last statement in the previous verse, because this is the ultimate question. Who is the God that can deliver you? See, that's the question this morning. As we come down, burdened down, who is the God that can deliver you? A secondary question is, do you know the God that can deliver you. I'm not saying that you're not saved, but the question is, do you know him? And so the Hebrew boys says, we're not even going to present a defense to your accusations. Because in other words, he said, it doesn't even matter. We have no need to answer you in this. And they say, if that's the case, that we don't bow down and worship you, our God, whom we serve, is able. How many of you know this morning that God is able? The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power not in him but in us. He is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. Now here's the kicker for me. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king, but if not. Brother Mead, a lot of times people say that there was doubt with the Hebrew boys in this particular verse. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there ain't no doubt at all. Because what they're saying is, they're believing in the sovereignty of God. Let's say, we know that our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, I still won't bow down and worship. See the point, the question I want to ask this morning, where are you? We live in a world, in a society, where the church has left the foundation and the principles of God in order to conform to the world. Paul said, do not be conformed to the world. Because I want that position, I know it ain't quite lining up with the word of God, but I need and I want this position, so therefore God knows my heart. See, that was the biggest faith statement you can make right there. Because how many of you are willing to go through the fire even if he doesn't deliver you? But I'm here to tell you this morning that God always delivers. Even if it ain't on this side. See, because what they said, he will deliver us. Let me get this now. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve a god, nor will we worship the gold image which you have. Because their thought process, if we die in the fire, I'm still delivered. Because I don't have to serve you and worship your king. Now, I just, the young lady back there, I just messed her all up because I'm all over the place. I'm trying to be obedient to me. Jesus makes a statement in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. He says, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. See, it wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was talking at the moment. It was the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of times we take that passage of scripture out, particularly those who are trying to minister, go out and say, well, I don't have to study because God will give it to me at the morning. That's not what he's talking about. It says, when they deliver you up, he will give you what to say. Verse 17 says that if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire of furnace, and he will deliver us, O king. See, these three men are at perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Where is your trust this morning? I know a lot of times we say, I trust God, but I'm here to say, do you really trust God? Because if you trust him, why are you worrying? Because Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, be not anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. But if it's not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The question, what if God chooses not to deliver you out of your circumstances? Will you still serve him? Now, if I take that poll this morning, everybody in this room will raise their hands. But if I come back to you on Tuesday, when the devil is kicking your behind, and ask and take a look at you and see, are you still serving him? See, we got to realize that the Hebrew boys was believing the word of God, because the prophet Isaiah tells them, he said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. He said, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. See, that's why it's so imperative for you to be in church, in a Bible teaching church, where the gifts of the spirits are in the gifts of the spirit is evident. That's why it's important that you come to Bible study on Wednesday night and any other thing that the church may be having, because it's coming a time when society is going to forbid us from having a Bible. It's going to forbid us from talking about our God. And if you don't know the word of God, you're going to be lost. The Bible said, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If there is no word, there is no hope. So now we come down, as I'm winding up, the sentence. Verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Now, Satan gets angry, because I'm equating Nebuchadnezzar with the kingdom of darkness, which is representative of Satan. Satan becomes angry when they wouldn't disobey or compromise the word of God. See, that's why you're being attacked, if it's not something that you did. Is something because you're standing up for the word of God. But I need you to see something that's very important in this passage of scripture. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar instructs them to heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Now we need to understand, and most of you probably know this, that 7 is the number of God and is the number of perfection. I submit to you this morning that Nebuchadnezzar was not speaking at this point in time, that it was God speaking through him to say, because fire is fire. I mean, typically says the temperatures of a fire in order to a house fire is about 1,100, 1,200 degrees. Now, I don't know about you. When I get in a 99 and 100 degrees, it's hot. When you're talking about 1,100, 1,200 degrees, that's fire. You ain't got to heat it up no more for me to know that that's fire. But the Bible says, he says, heat it up 7 times more. Why? I'm here to tell you this morning, because God was going to show up and show out. See, you're going through some stuff right now, and it seems as though as soon as you get out of this, then there's something else that comes. Or when you think you're out, instead of it getting better, it gets worse. When you think you should have more money in the bank, you look at your bank account and there's negative in your account. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not just because you mismanaged, it's because God is pulling us, leading us through the fiery furnace, not to punish us, but just to show you how great I am. Daniel 3:20 through 22, and I'm not going to read all of this, but in saying that this wasn't an ordinary fire, and we talked about the sinners now, and now he comes and he's going to throw them into the fire. And the Bible says this. Nebuchadnezzar calls up his best men, the most valiant men. And he says, take them up and cast them into the fiery furnace. So these strong men, these men of valor, comes up parading and grab these two for what they considered no class people and going to throw them into the fiery furnace. But God has something else planned. Because this is what the Bible says, that when they went to cast them into the fire, it says that they were slain by the fire. And I think I like the King James better, that said that they were consumed by the fire. Now, you got to understand this consumption there. Can I borrow this coat? I don't know who coat it is. If I'm going to cast this in, and I'm holding you in my arms, because there had to be two men for each guy, so there had to be at least six valiant men up there. And I go to throw you in, and as I'm throwing you in, I'm consumed. Guess what's going to happen to you? The Bible said they fell in. But my Bible, I want to say this, and I got to hurry up close. I want to say this, that this fire wasn't ordinary fire. It wasn't just a fire that they lit. Because if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. And then in Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. See, it wasn't the fire that they lit with a match that was in the furnace. It was God himself that was in the furnace. And the Bible says when they threw them in, they begin to fall. But Paul comes back and tells us in the book of Jude that now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. See, at some point in time when they get in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar sees them standing up. See, the Bible never says that you won't fall. He said he will keep you from falling. He said, but that doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Because, see, when they begin to fall, they didn't continue to fall. See, when you're on a ladder and you slip and you're falling, in other words, there's an angel that will keep you from falling. And, see, that's what the word of God is. It will keep you. When you slip, it will keep you from falling. I need you to do something for me. And I'm going to close in a minute. I need everybody to stand up. As I was studying this last night, this passage of scripture that I was going to use in this, it came up, and I know that God wants us to do this. I want everybody to find somebody or find a group, and I want you to look at them, and I want you to say this. Don't read it off the screen. I need for you to say this morning, all right? Because this is a word of the Lord from God to you. Y'all ready? Got somebody? I need you to look at them. I need you to talk to them. I don't want anybody not talking. If you got to get three, I want three. I need everybody to talk to somebody. All right? Y'all ready? All right. Repeat after me now. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. In other words, whatever you're going through today, you got to know that God says, I'm driving them out. because I am a consuming fire. He says, I am a consuming fire. You may be seated. God is a consuming fire. He has already worked everything out for you. David says like this, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, as I bring this thing to a close, I'm skipping over a good bit. But at the end, see, I always like the end. Because, see, the Bible says that God does everything from the end to the beginning. And he works his way back. So whatever you're going through right now, God already knows what the end is. You may seem as though that and the Bible also tells us you're not going through anything that anybody else hadn't already gone through. See, when you're in the midst of that fire, it seems as though nobody's there but you. But you got to know that in the midst of all your trouble, the consuming fire is right there with you. In other words, he's going to destroy anything that comes to destroy you. And when they throw him in, Nebuchadnezzar stops. And he scratches his head. I think he took his crown off and scratched his head. Pastor Carlin, he said, Brother Meade, didn't we throw three in the fire? Brother Meade, like you're doing right now, shaking his head. Yeah. He said, but hold up. And like we used to say in my day, hold up, wait a minute. My son, he said, but we threw three. But I see a fourth man. Amen. And here's the thing that really excited me, because Baal worshiped himself and other gods. And he said, but he looks like the Son of God. See, what I like about God, the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may not acknowledge him and know him today, but there's coming a moment, there's coming a time, you will know who he is. You will have to bow down, not to the image, but to him. And he says to him, he looks like the Son of Man. And so Nebuchadnezzar now says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. See, he reverses his sentence. See, we're in the appellate stage now. He reverses what he sentenced them, and he says, come forth. And they came out, and the Bible says, and I'm putting in Terry's rendition, that now he knows and understands and answered his own question, who is the God that will deliver you? Because he tells the satraps and the magistrates and everybody who listened, the God that they serve has delivered them out of the fiery furnace. What I'm saying to you this morning, when God comes in like a flood and delivers you from your circumstances, the world would have to say, your God, the true and the living God, has delivered you. See, we're trying to do things on our own when God says, as long as you're trying that, I'm going to let you do it. But when you put it into the hands of the consuming God, everybody else will have to say, it wasn't Terry that did it. It wasn't Pastor Carl that did it. It had to be the hands of the Lord. And so whatever you're going through this morning, know that God says that I've already got it taken care of. Know this day that I'm bringing you into a place and the consuming fire is going before you. See, he's already made the path straight. He's going before you. And as he goes before you, everybody else got to take notice. phone just went off. So what he says is this. Nebuchadnezzar now comes. You might cut that off for me. Nebuchadnezzar now comes and says, from this point forward, anybody who says this terrorist rendition, not you can read it. Anybody who says anything about their God, I'm going to cut them into pieces. God. Now that's conviction there, brother. God showed out to brother Nebuchadnezzar. But that ain't it. Because the last verse, verse 30, says this. And Nebuchadnezzar promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So what am I telling you? Brother Jake said it like this. Get ready, 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 get ready. Promotion is on the way. So you're not going through this stuff just to be going through. God is letting the enemy see that. Take your best shot. Because in spite of all that you do, at the end will be better than the beginning. Your latter days is going to be better than your former days. So I'm just telling you this morning, wipe all your tears away. Drop the change. Why? Because promotion is here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity just to share your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you have said and done. Lord, I pray that someone has received something. If they didn't, I did. And Lord, I just thank you this morning for the opportunity for your body to come together in unity. Because it is like the precious oil that runs from the head of Aaron down through his beard to the hem of his garments. And Lord, I pray that, and I know that the prayer that Jesus prayed, that we all be one. In these last days, dear God, I pray that you pull your church together. Because, God, we are the voice of the world. We are the voice of you in the world. And so, Lord, this morning, maybe there's someone here that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. And I never want to miss the opportunity because tomorrow is not promised, but not tomorrow, but the next second is not promised to us. And if there's someone here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I extend an offer to you. Not as Seed of Life Worship Ministry, not as Abundant Life, but as a servant of the Most High God. That if you don't know him, now is your time. Now is your moment. You may be going through some trials, but God said, I'll be there in the midst of it, and I will never leave you, nor would I forsake you. If you just trust in me. So if there's anyone here this morning, I don't know how Pastor Carl Norman does this, but I'm just, if there's anyone here this morning, well, I'll ask you to come down and let us pray with you. Because I never want it to be said that you had an opportunity and you didn't get it. Because when I stand before Jesus, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And if you get before him and he asks you why you didn't accept him as Lord and Savior, you're going to say, well, I didn't know. And he's going to play back the records of time. He's going to say, on January the 8th, 2017, the opportunity was presented to you, but you rejected. So if there's anyone here this morning, now is your opportunity. Now is your time. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Have you enjoyed this word this morning? Thank you, Pastor Terry. Well, that explains a lot. Some of us going through hell. And it's really about our God being on trial. It's not so much about us. Some of us have had a rough 2016, been through the fire, but that's only been to set us up for promotion this year. Thank you for that good word. That brings a lot of explanation to where we are. While you remain seated, our ushers are coming, and as they come, I'm going to ask Lena Jackson if she will come and join me on stage. We want to be a blessing to Pastor Terry and to Seed of Life Worship Ministries. If you're a member of Seed of Life, then this is your opportunity to give your tithe. And then for all of you, Abundant Life people, please, let's be generous in blessing this man of God who has imparted such a strong word as we're early in the new year. Father, I thank you for your goodness. It's tangible in this sanctuary right now. Thank you for the word of the Lord that's sharp and powerful and alive in this place today. Thank you for saying some things that we've needed to hear and bringing revelation that we've so desperately needed for the very next step we take. We speak blessing over Pastor Terry and Miss Dolores, over every member and friend of Seed of Life Worship Ministries. We speak life to that church congregation. We're grateful that they are like a lighthouse on a hillside in the middle of the night for many to find their way. We thank you for this man of God and the word that he's imparted to us today. And we speak a blessing over this offering now. May it meet every need that exists in the life of our brother. We speak blessing over our sister church family that has honored us today by joining with us for this special day of worship and the word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're making out